Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbara, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. With me today is Nirmal Ramalingam, software engineer by trade and avid entrepreneur at heart. Nirmal is the principal at Blue Wheel Partners, a real estate investment firm acquiring properties all around Colorado. Welcome, Nirmal. How you doing?
I'm good, Gino. How are you? Nice to be here.
Well, I'm glad that I'm here because right now we're in the midst of a little hurricane action going on. So I was thinking to myself, am I going to get on this phone call today? Am I going to get on this podcast? And thankfully I am. So Nirmal, let's kick it off by just giving a little bit of background of yourself. You know, I would love to even know when you came to this country. I'd love to know why software engineer, and then finish it off by saying why multifamily.
Sure. You know, I came to this country about more than 20 years back. To do my higher studies. I mean, I did my master's in engineering. Engineering was, you know, my background. So did my schooling in engineering. Then I moved around the country for a while, doing, you know, various jobs at different places. And then I finally came to Colorado, you know, 16, 17 years back, and, you know, just fell in love with the place, the mountains, the beauty around it. And then I just stayed here. So that's my journey through the country, but I lived in a lot of places, you know, East Coast, West Coast, seen the country, traveled around. And then, you know, my career started in software engineering, being at it, you know, I managed a team of developers. I was doing good, you know, but, you know, as my career progressed, you know, I started to feel the glass ceiling. You know, there is a glass ceiling that is a little bit hard to break. You can break it, but it's not for everyone. You know, it requires a different set of skills. Maybe it was not for me. Maybe it was not meant to be. You know, I was passed on for promotion a couple of times. Things started to look, a little weird at that point. So I thought, okay, that's when, you know, as cliche as it might be, you know, I picked up Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and, you know, read through that book. You know, that book did not get me into you know, real estate or anything, but it taught me that, hey, you need to have a second income, right? So that's where I started looking into real estate. I've been doing, you know, bought some rentals here in and around Denver, started doing some fix and flips. My flips have been on HGTV and stuff like that. But over time, you know, I realized that, you know, this is not a scalable business model, you know, for all the, you know, brain damage that comes with it. The reward was, you know, very, I mean, it was good, but it was, you know, like lunch money, but it's not life-changing money, right? So that's where I started researching more and more about how to scale the business. And then, stumbled into multifamily, started then researching about multifamily. And then, after how much ever, I do a lot of research before I do anything. And then, you know, and then Jake and Gino happen, and here we are.
Mm-hmm. You have, and we have in your bio, an avid entrepreneur at heart. Define for me what to you an avid entrepreneur at heart means.
You know, you always, you know, it is hard when you come from a family background. My family culture background is more about, you know, you get a good education, you get a good 9-to-5 job, you know, save family, you know, and, you know, you live a safe life. That is what I've been told. But I've always been, you know, I think that's a black sheep of the family. I did do the education, you know, I have a master's in engineering. I did all that. I got the job, but it was not fulfilling for me. I realized that if I ever want to be, I can live a decent life, but even if I want to live a life that I foresaw for myself, I realized this 9-to-5 was not it. You know, I got to do something different. I dabbled in stocks. I have been, you know, trading stocks for, you know, 15 years or so. I'm moderately profitable there. Invested in some rentals, something or the other to keep, to keep the ball rolling, right? But it never happened where I could do this full time. Now I'm in a time in my life where it has become a possibility that entrepreneurship can be a full-time job for me. And that seems to be always in the back of my mind. Now it's just pushing forward and I am letting it go. So
I love that. And at Jake and Gino, we like to say we create multifamily entrepreneurs. You've used a couple of words, systems and scale. Talk to me about the challenges before joining the community and then finish that off by telling me what you really learned. What are some of the ahas that you've taken from the community? And then we'll go into your deal in a little bit after that.
Have you heard of, the King Sisyphus, the guy who rolled the big boulder up the mountain and then it will just roll back? You know, I was like that guy, you know, before so Jake and Gino. You know, I did my own research. I was working on it. I was doing fix and flips at that time and I was trying to, scale my business. I was talking to brokers. I was talking to lenders, but it just, nothing happened. I was going through like, it was just like spinning the hamster wheel. I was running, doing a lot of stuff, but I was getting nowhere. Could I have done what I've done so far without Jake and Gino? Maybe, but it would have taken me years and years to happen. Like the stock trading I mentioned, right? I mean, it took me more than 10 years to become profitable. So that's the learning curve you have in something that you're not in tune with, right? It might have taken 10 years for me to get started in multifamily, if not for Jake and Gino, right? So that's the growth spurt that was the biggest advantage for me from Jake and Gino.
So 10 years to become profitable. I commend you for sticking in it that long. Most people would have quit after 10 weeks, maybe 10 days, let alone 10 years. But, I think Friedrich Nietzsche said it. If you have a big enough why, you'll figure out how to do it. And stock trading for you, I think, was one of those moments where you said to yourself, I want to retire from my job and I think I can do stock trading. But then I think you had the epiphany by saying stocks, tax benefits aren't great. It's more of a transaction-based business. I got to continue to flip. I'm not really creating that wealth. And I love that. So talk about the Denver market. Let the listeners know, okay, Denver is high price per door. We know all that. But give us some of the background on why you selected Denver and what you like about the market.
It's easy to say, hey, invest in your back, in your backyard, right? Mm-hmm. I know I live here in Denver. But that was not my only motivation to choose Colorado market. The market fundamentals here in Colorado are really good. It is because, all the metrics that you want to check off, you have a checklist of metrics that you look for in a market. Colorado probably checks most of it, job growth, wage growth, population growth, whatever metric you want to see. A lot of tech jobs that moved out of California landed in Austin. A lot of people know that's the big growth in Austin as well. But whatever did not go to Austin came to Denver. A lot of people may or may not know that. So that drove a lot of high-paying jobs into the country. You see a lot of California tags when you drive on the streets of Denver. So they brought in, people have mixed feelings about it, but they brought capital in. When people move in and they bring their capital in, the destination grows and it grows very well. So that's a big factor for me to select Colorado market. Even with all the things that is happening right now, Colorado market is still kind of stable. Multifamily, is still, there is still a growth in the multifamily market. Rents and prices are stable. So I think it's a good market to invest in.
Nirmal, I should have asked you this before because we have a lot of listeners on here who are software, they're engineers, or they have the engineer mind where they're really super analytical and they have that paralysis analysis and it takes them a long time to make a decision. When do you remember that moment when you finally said to yourself, I need to join the community, I need to make this investment? Do you remember that point in time?
I do. Actually, you know, that was when, you know, you're right. Analysis paralysis is a big thing with the people who are, you know, who have this engineering background or who that's their training.
Myself included. I'm myself included. I sometimes look at a deal, right? I look at a decision that I need to make. And I get paralyzed and do I have enough information? Am I making the right decision? And then you make the decision and then it's okay. But it takes a while to get to that point to make the decision. And people who have that engineering mind, they really fall into that. They want to see the numbers. They want to see the analysis. They want to see the data. And I mean, you show data, they want to see more data. And then you show more data and they want to see more data. It's like, how much data can you take? You know what I'm saying?
I think it's more of a personality thing. Even though I am very analytical, I like to find out things by doing it. You know, when I started fix and flips, I didn't know anything about fix and flips. I just went and bought a property from a wholesaler. I didn't even have a hard money guy. They said, hey, you got to buy cash. What? Yeah, I don't have cash. So, you know, I like to, you know, even though you do those analysis, I like to learn by doing it. So when I first bought my flips, I learned by doing it. You know, I have this mentality of, you know, you have to take some kind of a risk in life if you want to go to the next step. My analytical mind, all it says is, okay, you can take the risk, but take a calculated risk, right? So, you know, you do the numbers a little bit, numbers make sense, you know, just do it. You know, my first few of my flips didn't make money. You know, I made very little, broke even. It was not because of anything other than, you know, my lack of knowledge. That's what cost it. It has nothing to do with the property or what happened or what it sold for. So it's the same thing when I switched to multifamily. I did not want that to repeat again. You know, you learn from your past mistakes. So my past mistake was I was not educated enough to do what I was doing. It worked out well. It took some time. It worked out well. But I wanted, okay, now I have some kind of a base I can build out of. Now I need some kind of a mentorship to accelerate that progress. Mm-hmm. And that's where, you know, I started researching about, I started some Facebook groups, started researching. I met Anna and Fernando before I joined Jake and Gino. They had, you know, great things to say about your group. And there are a lot of other groups too in the market. But finally, I decided on Jake and Gino and I can't be happy enough. That really kickstarted the journey for me in the multifamily space.
What did the family say about the black sheep going into multifamily? Did you get a mouthful?
Yeah,
are you crazy? Are you? What are you doing? You're risking everything.
I'm lucky that, you know, my wife was understanding. You know, she they have their reservations. But it's all about explaining to them, hey, I am not doing this just for fun, right? She knows that I am, when I do something, I do it with my heart. I put in a lot of effort. You know, she's seen that with my, you know, rentals or whatever I did before. And, you know, it's a big step. She's like, how are you going to buy a multi-million dollar property? I said, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But she was understanding, and that really helped me make the transition. You need to have an understanding spouse. I think that's a big
normal. It's a two-way street though. I mean, the fact that you're committing yourself, you're putting the time and the effort and you're working really hard and you're committing yourself and you're sacrificing other things to make this journey work. I think your significant other, your spouse, says, okay, Normal's putting the hard work, I have to support him. And I think everyone listening to the show, whatever side you're on, if your husband or your wife is willing to make this commitment, willing to invest in multifamily or single family or whatever, or stock trading, you need to put in the work. You need to put in the time and the effort. And then on the other side, you have to understand, you have to also explain to them, paint them the picture. Because when I started, I told my wife, I want to be financially free. My wife didn't understand what that was because she never really dealt with money. I said, oh, well, time freedom. You know, having going on vacation, being able to pay for my kids' dentist bills, being able to pay for singing lessons and not worry about it. Oh, now I understand. So please paint the picture for your significant other. But at the same time, you need to commit and to sacrifice for other things while your spouse is saying, okay, now that he's doing all this, I can have some comfort in knowing that he's taking a risk, but he's taking a calculated risk. And it's education times that action, which will equal your results. And I'm sure that's what you probably were doing in your subconscious, and your wife probably saw that.
Yeah, that's true. It's definitely a two-way street. You know, there's a lot of slack she picked up as well. But it also shows that you have commitment as well. You don't go, you know, take this advantage and start screwing around, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. The idea is to show progress, to keep them informed, keep them in the loop. Hey, I'm doing this. We have reached here. We are going doing this now. You know, having that dialogue with them also helps. Making them show that, you know, this is all for the why that we always talk about, right? Mm-hmm. Why am I doing this? Why am I, you know, spending late nights or early mornings? I wake up, you know, 4 or 5 in the morning to do this. Why is that? So if they understand the why and you show the effort, I think you can make it work.
I agree. So what I... And there's so much to say about that. We could spend the whole show on that, but merely get your spouse locked in, and they don't have to love real estate. My wife doesn't know what a cap rate is. She doesn't care. But the fact that she sees me working hard is really, really important. Now, your deal. Let's talk about your deal, the deal you did in Denver. How did you find the deal? What did you like about the deal? And what are you going to do with the deal as far as exit strategy?
So actually, it's a funny story. For all the, you know, time I've been looking in Denver for a deal, you know, my partner is the one who bought me this deal. You know, he's part of Jake and Gino Leon. He lives in LA, and, you know, he was interested in investing in Colorado, and he found that deal. And then he, you know, this all happened so fast. He called me one day and said, hey, you know, I'm part of Jake and Gino, you know, Marco asked me to talk to you. We have a deal in Colorado. Are you interested? I said, yeah, sure. You know, send me the details and I will, you know, look into it. I saw the deal. I was like, you know, called him immediately. I was like, let's do this. This all happened, you know, from when he called me to when we were under contract, happened in less than 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, that's the, you know, they say the luck happens when you put the effort, right?
Exactly. So cynical people listening to this would say, oh, normal, lucky. Me, he met Leon. He didn't do any work for the deal. And, but the meanwhile, no one sees that Nirmal came to a buy right boot camp in Jacksonville. No one sees that Nirmal probably underwrote 100 deals before getting this deal. No one saw that Nirmal has been on coaching calls. No one saw that Nirmal has been talking to my brother Mark and meeting other investors in Denver. And then all of a sudden, he's ready. Luck is just working hard and being prepared. I was lucky when I met Jake because I met the right person, but I had enough knowledge and enough skill to start the business. And that's the same thing would happen with Nirmal. Now, if Nirmal had said to himself back in 2019 or in 2021, he said, market's too hot. I'm not joining. Real estate's too hot. He wouldn't have had this opportunity. Now, Nirmal 2022 may say to himself, well, the market's crashing. Interest rates are rising. I can't get into real estate. And there's always an excuse.
Correct.
It's correct. Only the right time when you are ready to get into any venture, whether it's stock trading, whether it's crypto. Crypto's down 50, 60%. Is it the right time? I don't know. But if you're going to be doing something for the long term, it's best you start sooner than later and get into these negotiations. Well, what you really need to do is you need to start learning how to network with brokers. You need to start learning how to actually analyze a market. Underwriting, all of these things take a few months. And as you know, Nirmal's in the academy, he's got all these skills. He's learning these skills. He's learning the Denver market. He even selected the Denver market instead of going out of his backyard. And someone from out of his backyard brought him the deal. That's an awesome story. I didn't know that. Congratulations.
Yeah, I know. I know all the work I put in helped me to figure out when I see a good deal, it's a good deal.
Yes. You know? Yes. That is, you hit the nail right on the head. You everyone says to me, I'm going to wait until the market crashes. If you're a beginning investor, you won't even know when that happens because you won't know in price per door. You don't know what happens to cap rates. You won't know what happens to rents. Nirmal knows his market. So right away, he saw a property that was undervalued that probably had the ability to raise rents. And he said, it's a deal in a great location, all these things. Let's go through the deal. But I'm speaking for Nirmal because I'm getting fired up right now because this is the topic we should be focusing on in this part of the market cycle because the market cycle has extended itself. It's been a seller's market for the last 2.5 to 3 years. We thought it would reset. COVID's pushed it out. Now, all of a sudden, interest rates have made a little bit of an effect. Not enough for some of these really hot markets like Denver, like Florida, like parts of Texas. But sooner or later, they will. The capital that's sitting out there is drying up, and there's going to be opportunities. So, once again, congratulations on that mindset, saying, I'm going to be ready. I'm going to put in the hard work. When something does come, I can at least identify it, that it's a deal for me or not a deal for me. So what did you like about the deal?
Great location. A good price, way under market. A lot of opportunity to, increase rents. And, it was just like a diamond in the rough. It's so hard to find those kinds of deals in the Denver market. And as soon as I saw it, I jumped on it. It didn't even take me like minutes to decide on it. I was like, let's do this.
So the software engineer who has paralysis analysis joins the community, invests a ton of money, and then all of a sudden finds a deal. He understands the deal and knows no paralysis right there, because I think it's the confidence of the education, the confidence of knowing what the deal, what makes a good deal. What is the future of this deal? What are you going to do with this deal? Are you going to reposition it and sell it, raise rents, refinance it in the future? What does that look like for you?
Yeah, so we also got lucky. We just closed like a month ago. We got good debt on it, a five-year debt on it. And we are planning to put in at least 30K unit, which even includes interior and exterior. The property has been neglected. It needs a lot of, deferred maintenance, sewer, HVACs, parking lots. It needs a lot of work. So that's where the opportunity is. So we come in, the rents are at least 400-500 below market. So as soon as we get these units renovated, taking care of all the deferred maintenance, we are seeing at least a delta of 500 to 600. So, and then, we have a good debt on it for 5 years. So hopefully, we'll beat our pro forma. Our pro forma, we did go conservative on it, and we are already very close to our pro forma in terms of where the rents are. Wow. So once we update it, it could be a home run there.
So people listening to this may not know the price point and the number of units. 12 units, $2.5 million. And some of you may be saying, wow, I can buy 12 units for $300,000. It's not the Denver market. It's a value add market, which is good because Nirmal's buying at a lower cap rate. So for every dollar of value he adds on, he gets a better and a bigger bang for his buck than buying at a market that's a higher cap rate. This is more of a capital appreciation market. We don't mind. We like capital appreciation. Cash flow will get you out of your job. Capital appreciation will keep you out of your job. And if done properly, Nirmal's going to be able to cash flow on this deal as well, because he bought it undervalued and he's going to be able to raise those rents. $500, this deal will probably cash flow nicely. And he's got the exit strategy. 5 years is more than enough time, so he can hold on to this deal for 5 years. Rates are probably going to drop in the next 2 to 3 years. He could probably refi at that point, pull his money out. So, and once again, I heard the word lucky. He got lucky with debt. He didn't get lucky because he took action. And all of a sudden, he got this deal before the market started changing. If he had waited and said, Mr. Seller, I'm not going to do this deal, I think the price is too high, he would have lost his window of opportunity. So to me, that's, talk about that. I mean, that swiftness, the ability to see that deal.
We really moved very fast on this deal. The deal was off market. And the seller didn't want to take it to market for whatever reason. It was off market, and the broker only showed it to like four people, and there were three offers and two final offers, and we got it. This happened, this all happened very fast. We had to be ready for it. If I was very new to the market, like you said, I could not have pulled this off in a week or two. We had, our relationship with the brokers, our relationship with the lenders, and all that played a part so that we could move fast on this deal. If not, we would have definitely lost this deal, because there were other people who did see. I mean, if you saw the value on it, somebody else saw the value on it as well, right? So if you don't move fast, we would have definitely lost it. So that's where, like I said, it all happened in 2 weeks. We were under contract. So it's like you said, the mindset before it, the work you put before it played a big role in this deal, and appreciative of that.
Nirmal, let's talk about your future. What does the future look like for you? What's your next opportunity, or what are you looking for? What are you looking to grow? What are your goals?
My goals are for freedom. You know, freedom from, you know, time is the only thing that you can buy. You can even Elon Musk cannot buy time, right? I mean, so the freedom from time. I have young kids at home. I like traveling. I've already been to like 14 countries or so, but you know, I like to travel more. And right now it's so restricted. I can't. It's whatever the reason might be. I just can't. I don't have that freedom to do what I want to do. And that's my end goal. Always, if I want to, you know, go to my kids' soccer practice, I I want to drop everything and go. You know, that's what I want to be.
Mm-hmm. So I'm a beginning investor. Last question. I'm a beginning investor. I don't know where to start. You know, what would you advise people? How did you start? Yeah, I love the rich dad, poor dad, changing the mindset right away. You even got into fixing and flipping and started flipping deals. You had that, you know, like you said, on HGTV, you had a flip, you had a house on there. You learn by trial and error. It seems like you're a kinesthetic learner. You need to do things. You know, correct. Can you give me a couple of tips for anyone listening on the show right now that they're in single family or they may be in stocks? I mean, we've already talked about the benefits of multifamily. They can listen to other podcasts, but what should I do? How should I start into the multifamily space?
First thing is you have to understand yourself. You have to find out where is your weakness. And I think 90% of the newbie investors would lack the knowledge. What is cap rate? You know, what is lend? What is, how do I get debt? How do I find investors? That is always, at least it's been my biggest barrier. We look at these properties as like $10 million property. How am I going to, $10 million, you know, I can't even imagine my wildest dreams. Now I put offers for $15 million deals, so that's, the thing is you just do it, you know, as cliche as it may sound, you just have to jump in. You cannot have one foot here and one foot there. And always, if your mindset is always thinking about this is going to go bad, it's going to go bad. Yes, it's good to be cautious, but you have to jump in. If you have to jump in into the river, and you will definitely learn to swim. And and there are tools, you know, Jake and Gino has all the tools that you need to so that you can swim to the other side. So that would be my recommendation. Just start doing it.
Nirmal, how can the listeners get a hold of you?
You know, I'm active on Facebook, LinkedIn, email, my first name at mybluewheel.com. And reach out on Facebook, on LinkedIn. I'm pretty active over there.
So you have Nirmal at bluewheelpartners.com?
At mybluewheel.com.
Oh, okay. Nirmal at mybluewheel.com. You know, I want to really recap the show real quick. Nirmal comes to this country about 20 years ago, obviously into a family that's well-educated. They want him to get the job, the safe, secure job. And he even describes himself as an avid entrepreneur. And it seems as if he's a little bit of the black sheep of the family. He gets into stock trading. It takes him 10 years to become profitable in stock trading. He probably should have joined a mentorship in stock trading, but maybe at the time he didn't think about it. He gets in the fixes and flips. He's a kinesthetic learner. He likes to do. And that's what's really cool, getting in there and just trying it out and pivoting. Then he decides to join Jake and Gino when the market is super hot, in a super hot market itself. And everyone's saying, you must be crazy. This is a hot market. Why are you getting into real estate? This is not the right time. He puts in a ton of work. He comes to the boot camps, gets on the coaching calls, starts networking with other students. And lo and behold, after all of his hard work looking for deals himself, a Jake and Gino member brings him an amazing deal. They execute it really quick. They close in the deal, 12 units. And that's the story right here. That's just the beginning of the story. There's still a lot of chapters to be written on the story. And I mean, to me, it's an amazing, amazing testament of the market's really hot. Don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Worry about what yourself. You have a picture of what you want. And Nirmal knows that he wants time freedom. I mean, everyone listening to this, do you know what you want? You may know what you don't want. But if you're not clear on what you do want, then you won't take that next step. And that's what I think multifamily was for Nirmal. It's just that next step, that vehicle to start securing some time freedom for him. Nirmal, I want to thank you for being on the show. It was an awesome show. Any final words before we sign off?
And persistence, that's one other thing I wanted to say. You know, like you mentioned, you know, 10 years, it took me 10 years to be profitable, but, you know, I kept at it. Same thing with multifamily too. You know, it took me a while to get my first deal, but, you know, again, persistence paid. So to all the listeners, you just got to keep at it. It will happen. And with the right mentorship, surrounding yourself with the right people, it will happen.
I love that. Surround yourself with the right people. Who is your peer group? I want to thank Nirmal for coming on the show and sharing his insight once again. Now, if you want to be the next Movers and Shakers guest, email us at michelle@jakeandgino.com. Once again, thanks, Nirmal, and have a great day.